a good natural thing to have before you have a session is actually apples. Have a couple of apples before you know you're going to have a few bottles of wine and that.
Just extraordinary.
He just buried the lead, as some would say in our last chat with him. He dropped that as he was saying farewell, and the switchboard blew up. I was taking calls left, right, and centre. Apples around the country sold out in a space of a couple of hours. He needs to explain himself. Georgie Samios is here from Treasury Wines. Georgie, welcome.
Good morning, Gary. Good morning, Tim.
Please, just clarify the apples, because I had people come up to me saying, how many apples does George think I need? Do I have to have an apple a bottle, or how many?
Yeah, I know, and I mate sending me photos of bags of apples, and bloke went into a dinner party with an apple in each pocket and his hands, and berserk.
Vander went out and bought an orchard.
Look, you know, we were talking obviously about the effects of wine, and one of the issues that some of us have, and as we get older it does become a little bit more prevalent, are the histamines in wine. And generally we see histamines in things like, you know, cured meats and aged cheese, but in particular in red wine, and in fact probably 2 to 3 times the amount of histamines in red wine rather than white wine. And so then you look at how you can sort of prevent the effects of the histamines, and some of us will take tablets, but I think you do it naturally is much better. And one of the foods with the highest amount of natural antihistamines are apples in their skin. So the logic would be that if you have a few apples, you're actually putting some antihistamines into your body before you put the histamines in to have the glass of red. So I think it's a good idea, a bottle of wine, an apple, and remember I said a glass of water for every glass of wine, and the apples, you know, keep the doctor away and they keep the histamines away.
One of the text messages suggested, could he drink about 8 pots of cider before he rips into the wine? Would that work?
Probably not. There would still be an element of it, but no, I think stick to the raw ingredient. And there's other foods that are high in antihistamines as well, things like broccoli and, you know, some herbs like parsley and all that. But apples are very, very high. Apples are great for you. They do lots of good wonder for you, apples.
There's a lot of different sorts of apples. Is the Granny Smith, does that work better than, say, the Fuji or some of the other apples?
I haven't gone to the detail of doing apple tastings and comparing the antihistamines. Tim, maybe we'll do that at another time. But generally, I think you've just got to eat the apple and make sure you have the skin, of course, because that's the key part of it.
Hey, George, earlier in the program, we were talking about the potential shortage of cork around the world too. Is this a major problem for all the vineyards around the world that still use the cork?
Look, I don't think there's going to be a shortage, because if you look at 20% of the world's wine industry now uses screw cap. So even though we're making more wine around the world, there isn't necessarily going to be a mad rush on cork. Now, most of the cork is, of course, from Portugal. But I think we'll be fine. It's a long-range sort of industry, the cork industry. And I heard you talking about it earlier. You don't actually get cork from a tree, the first lot of cork, for about 20 to 25 years. And then you've got to wait every 9 years before you get more cork. So most of these things grow up to about 200 years of age. So there's about 16 harvests when you work it out. So you've got a long time between drinks. So you've got to get it right when you make the cork. But look, there's plenty of corks around. I think I read not long ago, there's about 12 to 13 billion corks made every year, most of it out of Portugal. So I reckon we'll be okay.
Wow. I've moved house. I'm moving house, so I had to move some wine. I had some wine stashed under the staircase.
I saw the truck arrive.
Nice, cool place. And then, and there's a little wine fridge in the new place, Georgie. Is it okay to stick it straight in there?
Yes, great. Wine fridges are great. I recommend them for everyone. Get a couple of them if you've got a bigger collection. And when you migrate to the bigger fridge, get the two temperature ones so you can have the reds maybe at a different temperature to the whites. And in fact, you can drink the whites straight out of that fridge, which is great. No, they're very good.
Off the text, Shiraz and Syrah, or Syrah, are they the same wine, George?
Well, they are. They are the same variety. Syrah really has got its origins from France, where the wines potentially are a little bit less alcoholic, so lower in alcohol, potentially a little bit more savoury and maybe a bit spicier. And so some producers in Australia will label their products Syrah, but it's the same as Shiraz or Shiraz, however you want to pronounce it.
This person wants to start drinking red wine. What bottle should I purchase to start off with?
Oh, that is a great question. There might be a whole truckload of people. And you, And again, I'm watching them now, text go nuts. So you've got a massive following. Someone's, you know, never really been a wine drinker, but they've liked what you've been saying over the past 12 months. What would be the very, very first bottle they should go and get?
I think you go to red, because if you haven't been drinking wine, you've probably been drinking beer, and or you may be drinking spirits and mixed and whatnot. I think you stay away from white wine to start with because of the high acid levels. You definitely stay away from Cabernet Sauvignon because it's got too much tannin. So I always go back to Merlot and Shiraz. Some people think Pinot because it's lighter, but actually Pinot is quite difficult for some people to get their heads around to start with. So I reckon you go for Shiraz or a Merlot, and I reckon with Shiraz you pick anything in the Barossa Valley. And I've talked before about wines like Pepperjack, like Yolumba, like Peter Lehman, really great solid Barossa reds that have got flavour, but they're not going to kill you with tannin, and that's the key to starting, I reckon. So Shiraz or Merlot, and probably look to Barossa as the region.
Or Grenache?
Grenache is good, yeah. Grenache soft, and we talked about it last week, yes. I think. Very soft and juicy. It's got a lovely flavour, again, without having too much of the tannin or the acid levels.
And the best temp to put your white and red wine, so you got these fridges so you can have your reds at the top at a certain temperature and your whites at the bottom. What's the best temperature?
Well, if you want to drink the whites, I think if you get it at sort of 6 or 7, you can pull them straight out and then drink them. With the reds to store them, you know, anything between sort of 10 and 20 is fine. It's consistency that's the key. There is no doubt that if you've got your reds in a cellar that are 5 degrees consistently, they are actually going to last longer than if it's 20 degrees consistently. But sometimes that's quite difficult to do. So I think anywhere from sort of 6 or 7 to about 14 for reds and whites, and you're pretty safe.
Ashley out there on the Temper Text wants to know, George, do you know anything about the Naked Wine Club? I say that you probably started it. What do you know about the Naked Wine Club, George?
It's a great wine community. So basically, it's almost like crowdfunding. So you become a member of the club, and your cost to go into the club, I suppose, then funds wineries to make small batches of wine that are not necessarily available in retail. So yeah, a very good, worthwhile way to find some different wines. And I always say to people, you know, the key to wine is to look around and try different things, and this is a good way to do it.
Georgie, we've got the recommendation stage. This is where people get their pens out. You've given a good heads up for those that are just starting. But for those that are a little bit more into it, what do you got for us this week?
I've sort of tried some Cabernets recently. And you know, we always talk about Coonawarra and Cabernet. And you can't recommend enough of the wines from there. And I hadn't tried this wine for a while. It's actually one that I used to drink quite a bit of many years ago. So it's from Coonawarra, and it's from a winery called Brands Lera. So B-R-A-N-D apostrophe S Lera, L-A-I-R-A. It's called Brands Lera Blockers Cabernet Sauvignon from Coonawarra. Now, I know that'll be up on the socials after here, but good Cabernet, beautiful Cabernet, length and structure. Put the T-bone on the barbecue. We're beautiful.
Sheets?
25.
George, talking about sheets, Gary has been shifting, as he mentioned before. He's discovered that he's got a 96 Grange, a 2001 Grange, and two 2007 Granges. Give us some approximates that they might be worth.
The 96 probably about 800-900, and then the others are probably about 700. The 96 is a great wine. In fact, you know, it's amazing that if you look at Grange, 76, 86, 96, 06, and the current one, 16, all very, very, very good vintages. So I'd be holding on to all of those at least until you and I are with him, Tim, and then I think we could open them all.
Hey, somebody also sent a text through saying that they're loving the Pinots out of the Marlborough region now too. Have you got a suggestion for a Pinot that's in that part of the world?
I sort of favour more Central Otago, to be honest, but you do see quite a few better ones from Marlborough. I just find them a little bit lighter. You know, Geeson makes a couple of good ones, Matua. But if you do like the Marlborough ones, whoever texted that in, maybe just pop down the road a bit and try the Central Otago ones, and Felton Road and people like that make some beautiful Pinot.
We're picking our Fiano grapes this weekend. George, what are you up to? Wouldn't mind a hand at picking some of the lower grapes?
I'm full on this weekend, mate. I've got a lot on. Sorry about that. But, yeah, if you'd let me know earlier, I would have fitted it in. But, no, I've got lots on. I'm not sure what I'm doing, but I've got lots on.
Nicely done, Georgie. As always, you set the whole joint alight here, and people love your segment. We appreciate it. Thanks for coming on.
No worries, boys. Have a good week.
Great George Samios there.